Radio Prague News.
According to the National Center for Combating Organized Crime, several people linked to terrorist groups attempted to buy outdoor equipment in the Czech Republic worth tens of thousands of crowns. Czech mother Eva Michalaková has appealed the decision of a Norwegian court issued in June this year to remove her parental rights for her two sons. And Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová is among the athletes whose confidential medical files have been leaked by a group of Russian hackers. According to the National Center for Combating Organized Crime, several people linked to terrorist groups attempted to buy outdoor equipment in the Czech Republic worth tens of thousands of crowns. Another terrorist suspect who was wounded in combat received treatment in the country. Czech security forces also tracked terrorist suspects who abused Czech asylum system and transited the territory of the Czech Republic. Michal Mazánek, head of the National Center for Combating Organized Crime, revealed the information on Thursday at an international conference focused on protection of so-called soft targets against terrorism. Czech mother Eva Michalaková has appealed the decision of a Norwegian court issued in June this year to remove her parental rights for her two sons. Ms. Michalaková's lawyer Pavel Hasenkopf told the Czech news agency on Thursday. The judge has also barred Ms. Michalaková from having any contact with her sons. The two children, who are now 10 and 8 years old, were taken into care by Norwegian social services 5 years ago following suspicions of abuse. The case has become a major media and political issue in the Czech Republic. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs has previously said that it was ready to support Ms. Michalaková in case she appealed the verdict. Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová is among the athletes whose confidential medical files have been leaked by a group of Russian hackers. The responsibility for the hacking of the World Anti-Doping Agency database was claimed by a group calling itself Fancy Bears, who said they attempted to undermine the global anti-doping system. The records concerning Petra Kvitová date back to 2009, when she was allowed the use of a banned substance due to asthma problems. The athletes affected include tennis players Venus and Serena Williams and gymnast Simone Biles. An exhibition of the works by Henri Rousseau gets underway on Thursday at the National Gallery's Ginsky Palace in Prague. The iconic works of the famous French painter, including his most famous self-portrait, are displayed face-to-face with the paintings of other great artists such as Paul Cézanne, Pablo Picasso, Emil Fischer and Joseph Schumer. The exhibition was prepared in cooperation with the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, and it is the first time Rousseau's works are presented in the Czech Republic. The average price of apartments in Prague and other regional towns in the Czech Republic increased by 11.1% year-on-year in the second quarter of 2016, according to the price tracking website Cenová Mapa. The average price per square meter in Prague was 6,300 crowns, while in Ústí nad Labem a square meter is sold for 11,400 crowns. The quarterly increase was 6.1%, which is the fastest growth since 2010. Sales of apartments in the second quarter amounted to a total of 20 billion crowns. The Czech Film and Television Academy has nominated Ztraceni v Mnichově or Lost in Munich by Petr Zelenka to compete for the Oscar for the Best Foreign Language Film. The comedy about the 1938 Munich Agreement took this year's Czech Film Critics Award for Best Film, Best Screenplay and Best Director. The Czech Republic last won an Oscar for Best Foreign Film in 1996 with Jan Svěrák's Kolia. The Prague Transport Authority is set to launch construction of an escalator at the Nádraží Veleslavín metro station. The station, which opened last April, serves mostly travellers going to and from the city's Václav Havel airport, but it is not fitted with an escalator from its vestibule to the street level. Soon after the opening of the station, Prague Airport hired porters to help people with heavy luggage. It is not yet clear when the construction of a new escalator will be completed. I'm Ruth Franková, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech government announces plans to try and catch up with more advanced states when it comes to e-government. A new exhibition in London aims to further boost the already growing reputation of Czech glass. And we hear about an exhibition of photographs by Czech soldiers serving in foreign missions. All that's coming up in today's programme. The Czech government on Thursday unveiled moves to spark the rapid takeoff of e-government in the country. From a promising beginning a decade or so ago, the Czech efforts have stumbled, with the country slipping badly down the European and world performance rankings. Chris Johnstone reports.
In Estonia, voting online in general elections is now a matter of course. It's still very much the exception, but in many other countries you can deal with nearly everyday problems with local, regional and central government and public bodies over the internet. A few years ago in the Czech Republic there was talk of making elections this year the first to be conducted with internet voting. Those promises fizzled out, and Czech voters in upcoming regional and Senate elections next month will go for the most part to vote after using their feet. And Czechs still often have to deal with administrative issues with pieces of paper in hand at official counters. A global survey by the United Nations this year ranked the Czech Republic 50th in the world for the development of e-government following a slow and steady fall in the rankings over the last decade. In comparison, Slovenia ranked 21st, Poland 36th, Hungary 46th and Slovakia 67th. Britain topped the table after a concerted effort to put all aspects of administration online. Facing up to the fact, Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka launched the government's 20-20-20 strategy aimed at propelling the country within 4 years into the top 20 e-government countries in the world. Secretary of State for European Affairs Tomáš Prouza was given the extra task of being the government's digital coordinator in April. He'll be taking a leading role in the new initiative and explain some of its facets after the press conference.
Of course, doing things online is much cheaper than going to a government office, filling out papers, etc. So it's making the primary goal is to make it much easier for people to communicate with the government. But the second important role is also for the government, for all the various databases and information systems we have, to talk together so that when people submit information once, they do it only once. They don't have to do that repeatedly, which is, of course, painful, and people dislike that.
All in all, the Czech government and administration now has 735 online services. The government stresses the picture is not totally gloomy. Initiatives such as applications for electronic criminal records or the multipurpose checkpoint site have been rolled out. Work is continuing on an electronic identity card with the target that it should be available by 2018. But many of those steps have been ad hoc by different ministries and bodies, and they are for the most part not compatible. The latest initiative started with regions and local councils asking the government to do more and get its act together. And the bottom-up approach will continue, with the government now mapping out what it's doing as regards e-government and asking citizens and companies for pointers where the next breakthroughs should be.
That report was by Chris Johnstone. Breathless is the title of a presentation of Czech glass that runs from this Saturday as part of the prestigious London Design Festival. Located in a former garage in the Brompton Design District near the Victoria and Albert Museum, the exhibition is a joint project of the award-winning Dechem Studio, the Okolo Design Collective and London's Czech Centre. As last-minute preparations were made, Okolo's Adam Štěch filled me in on what the show has to offer.
Visitors can see basically two main parts of the exhibition. One of the part is very dynamic. It shows process of the blowing glass, because we are bringing like a small mobile furnace, and the glass blowers will work during the workshops. We will also collaborate with several designers from London, like Michael Anastasiades or Studio Swine or Thomas Alonso. These very nice designers will also be creating something during the workshops. And the another part is more static. It's kind of like life of glass. And it consists kind of like symbolical small museum of glass, where visitors can see seven different categories of glass use in industry. So it's kind of very wide perspective what glass actually is.
Tell us about the interactive aspect of the show. Will members of the public be actually themselves able to blow glass there?
Yeah, we have some like basic, very basic, elementary way of production. We have prepared some like small molds, some forms which can also public, can be very, very close to the production. Of course, there will be like two glass blowers, like master glass blowers. They will assist the public maybe to create some like small objects, which we are giving to them like after they will be called.
What kind of reputation does Czech glass have in the UK?
I would say that like Czech glass is now during kind of renaissance, because in last, 10 years, like Czech glass and design scene was very developed. Like new companies were born, were founded. Also old historical companies were relaunched in a like new style with the new designs, with the new designers. Also Czech companies are collaborating with international designers. So I think the reputation of Czech glass now in the design world is much higher, much bigger than like 10 years ago. And it's quite funny because our exhibition is right next to one of the best concept stores or design galleries in London. And this design gallery, I'm just looking through their window, and there is big chandelier from Lasvit. There is a work of Dechem Studio inside. So even such a very prestigious place is exhibiting Czech glass. So I think it's still better and better, and I hope that our exhibition also can help to understand what actually Czech glass, or even how magical this material is.
Adam Štěch and Breathless runs at 1 North Terrace, Kensington, from the 17th to the 25th of September. Why does the Czech Army take part in foreign military missions? And why should Czechs appreciate their war veterans? This is the main theme of an exhibition that's currently underway at Prague Castle. Entitled Ten druhý život, or That Other Life, it features large format photos showing scenes encountered by Czech military missions abroad, captured by soldiers and journalists. Ruth Frankova has more in this week's edition of Panorama.
Prague Castle's Old Royal Palace is the last stop of the travelling exhibition That Other Life, which has previously toured six other towns in the Czech Republic, acquainting the general public with life of Czech soldiers serving on foreign missions. Most of the nearly 50 photos capture everyday life in the war-torn regions of Afghanistan, Kosovo, Iraq and Mali, as seen by the soldiers themselves. Lieutenant Colonel Jana Cechmajstrová, one of the photographers with work displayed, explained the choice of the title That Other Life.
Měla by to být vlastně výstava s trochu netradičním pohledem na působení českých vojáků v zahraničních operacích.
The exhibition offers a rather uncommon picture of foreign military missions. The Other Life refers to the life and experiences of soldiers on foreign missions, which are completely different from their life here in the Czech Republic. But it also refers to the life experienced by the local people.
Indeed, it is mostly local people, often women and children, who are caught on the camera. Jana Cechmajstrová, who participated on a mission in Kosovo in 2009 and 2010, has several pictures of children on display at Prague Castle. Mrs. Cechmajstrová says that as a woman, she is naturally attracted by children's faces and their fates. One of the photos captures the face of a boy with his hand stretched out, while someone in a car is handing something to him. She explains the story behind that picture.
Our vehicles drove around the poor villages along the border with Serbia, carrying humanitarian aid. Every time we passed through, dozens of children would flock around our cars. What you can see in the face of this boy is not excitement or a plea. It is sadness or even defiance in the face of what is going on in his country. At least that's how I read his expression.
Třeba nemůže změnit, to je aspoň takové nějaké moje čtení toho výrazu tváře.
Jana Cechmajstrová admits that as a woman, she sometimes found it hard not to get carried away by her emotions. She says photography was one of the ways to keep a healthy distance from what she was going through.
Já jsem teda fotografovala už předtím, ale nebyly to lidé.
I used to take pictures in the past, but only of places and landscapes. Kosovo was a trigger for me to start taking pictures of people, to try to capture their lives and emotions. The situation that I was going through pushed me into that. I wanted to let Czechs know what the people in those countries were experiencing and that it was necessary to help them.
According to Mrs. Cechmajstrová, Czech soldiers have a very good name among their foreign colleagues and they are appreciated mainly for their ability to cope in any situation. However, she also says that the general public does not have a very positive view of Czech foreign missions. She hopes that events such as this one could help to change the public opinion in their favour.
I believe that the photos could help people to realise that Czech soldiers don't go abroad just to make money, but also because of the human aspect. Also, many of my colleagues from technical professions, such as engineers, want to try their skills in real-life situations. They want to accomplish things like constructing a bridge or building a school.
Among other authors whose pictures are featured at the exhibition That Other Life is Master Sergeant Miroslav Lopatář, who embarked on a military career in 2001 when he underwent basic military training. 4 years later, he joined the Airborne Battalion in Chrudim as a professional soldier.
První nasazení bylo v roce 2007.
I embarked on my first foreign mission in 2007. I was deployed at the northeastern province of Faizabad in Afghanistan. In 2009, I was on the Provincial Reconstruction Team, PRT, in Logar. And the last mission I took part in was at the turn of 2010 and 2011 near Kabul and in the Wardak province in eastern Afghanistan. This is where all the photos were taken.
Mr. Lopatář says photography has always been his hobby, but now it is also a form of therapy.
I think that every activity is useful that helps you cut off from a reality that can be pretty difficult at times, mainly due to weariness and separation from your loved ones. It can keep you busy and take your mind off your troubles. Some people prefer a sport, some people watch films or play games, and in my case, I chose photography. That helps me relax.
One of the pictures by Miroslav Lopatář, which is on display at Prague Castle exhibition, captures a Czech and Afghan soldier standing side by side, watching a storage tank in flames.
This was actually quite a common sight in the Vardak province. This way, the rebels attempted to disrupt the activity of the coalition troops. It's actually one of my very few pictures that were not entirely spontaneous. I usually see something and snap it right away. But this time I had to run 200 meters from my camera to document the scene, and I had to ask the boys to stay in the position.
Mr. Lopatář says that during his long military career, he has witnessed a great improvement in Czech professional soldiers and believes the foreign missions have contributed to promoting the good name of the Czech Republic abroad.
At the beginning, we were regarded by the NATO allies as an underrated partner from the East. But after they saw us in action, they realized that we were equal partners, and in some cases, we were even better. I also hope that the Afghan people, both the locals and the soldiers that we helped train, will always think nicely of the Czech Republic.
The exhibition That Other Life at Prague Castle runs until the end of September. Among other authors contributing to the exhibition is Surgeon First Class Daniela Hlaváč and photojournalists Lenka Klitsperová and Jarmila Štuková. On the 4th of October, selected pictures from the exhibition will be auctioned off and the proceeds will be used to build a community centre for war veterans at the military hospital in Brno, set to open at the end of this year.
Edition of Panorama was written and presented by my colleague Ruth Frankova. If you have any comments about today's programme here on Radio Prague, please do share them with us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook or via Twitter. But that's all for now, folks. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.